and produced a wonderful crop. Hallelujah. This parable is very special to me because when I first started coming to God, my life wasn't simply bare soil, but I had a large amount of weeds growing in my life. And when I first heard testimonies about what Jesus could do, and that His was the name above every other name, and that His words had power, and that He rose from the dead, I looked at my life and I looked at where I was heading, and I was deeply troubled as I looked at that. And the words which I heard, they sat there. And then after about 12 months, I had had enough of what was in my life. And the night that I gave my life to God, I knew there were things in there that had to come out of my heart and my mind. And I wasn't just growing weeds, I had already started affecting other people, because weeds produce seeds. And I started showing these seeds into other people's lives. I can remember having a very good friend, and we both were seeking, we're both semi-spiritual. And we said, well, let's pray about it. And he started praying in Jesus' name. And I stopped him. And I said, we are not praying in Jesus' name. Because my heart was so distant from God. Because I had been caught up deeply in alternative lifestyles on different communities. And when I sat back and looked at what I saw on those different communities, there was drugs, there was a whole lot of things going on which weren't right. It was like an idol garden. And if you came into my backyard and saw my vegetable patch, you would be very disappointed. Unlike my Burmese friends who have lovely gardens, mine, well, that's where these came from. And about every 4 months, I like the idea of having a veggie garden, but I hate the idea of not being able to look after it properly. So every 3 or 4 months I go in and dig the whole thing over to try and kill all the weeds. But here we are. If there's any idle soil, a weed is going to find itself there and take over. And in those particular communities where I was, there was a lot of idleness and there was a lot of bad stuff going on. And there was always this thought of a peaceful place and, you know, this is utopia. It wasn't. It wasn't. And it would be the last place you'd want to bring your children up because it exposed them to a lot of bad things. But when I came to God, I recognized I needed some things uprooting from my life. And has anyone had one of those in their garden before? Tell what it is. Stinging nettle. So when you go to pick that up, it gives you a little bit of a sting on your hands and annoys you. That can be like our lives a little bit when things have to come out. They can hurt. And for me, some things hurt. But I recognized that unless I cleared the field, there was no way I could live a successful Christian life. Because to me, when I heard about the miracles that occurred in Jesus' name, and I looked at what I was into, I said to myself, if all power is in Jesus' name, what am I doing with all this other stuff? And I recognized it had to go. So I started ripping things out of my life. Disrespect. Rebellion. I had to change the kind of music I was listening to. The kind of music I was listening to was written by drug addicts. It had to go. And my mind was like a battlefield as I tussled with what I should think and what I should do. But God helped me as things were removed from my life, and then the Word of God was planted in my heart, and the Word of God became like food for me, and I devoured it because I was so hungry. I was desperate for things to take place in my life. And sometimes I feel that we live at a distinct disadvantage because we struggle to understand how long it takes for a seed to produce fruit. Because often we want a very quick fix in our lives, and we don't realize that weed is there because of something we may have done months or years ago. And we just want it dealt with, but at the same time, we're still sowing weed seeds, or we're allowing things to grow in our heart, mind, or in our family. And God help us to recognize what things need to be pulled up and what seeds need to be sown. And if you're like me, there have been times when I've planted a garden and haven't looked after it properly. And the results are very disappointing. Was there anything wrong with the seed? No. I just didn't look after it properly. I neglected it. I allowed weeds to choke it out. I underwatered. But there have been times when I have managed to succeed in vegetable gardens and have loved the fruit from it. Jesus spoke about his words being like seeds. He said in the Gospel of John, he said, "My words are spirit and they are life." His words are like the seed. If you receive it in your heart and in your mind, something's going to happen. But it may not be evident immediately because that seed needs time to grow. And that's why the Bible talks about having patience in your souls. Because when you have patience, things start to happen. You start to overcome. You start to get victory after victory. And then what God has planted in your life springs up and you start to see the benefits and the fruit from it. The seed that fell on the path, it just didn't find a place to sit. It's a bit like somebody playing with their phone while the preaching is going on. It's a bing, drop straight off, you know. That's why with our children we want them to listen when the Word of God has been preaching. We want the Word of God to sink in to our hearts and minds. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, he said, the birds came and ate the seeds. He said, Satan, further on in the scripture, he says, Satan came and removed the word because it wasn't received. Isn't that incredible? Satan knows how much power there is in the words of God, in the words of Jesus Christ, in the words of the kingdom of God. That's how Jesus described it. There's power in those words. And sometimes we get hoodwinked into believing that there's no power in his words, or that his words have lost effect, so we give up. You know, that's what you'd call a delusion. It's like when somebody gets hoodwinked into selling something valuable for a very small price. Ripped off is another word. So the Word of God has power to transform, to enlighten us and reveal the power of God in our lives. His Word is incredible. The other part of the parable where Jesus spoke about the word, the seed hitting the stones, hitting that stony ground. It was received initially, but then with a bit of trouble, and the sun represented the persecution and the difficulty, with a bit of trouble, the person didn't have enough root in the soil, and the word which had sprung forth began to die and then perished. And that was a warning to us. But you know what I think one of the biggest problems in our day and age? Competition. There's 1,001 things we can do with our time, and they can all be good. But if we allow them to take priority over the will of God and the Word of God, they will choke out the most valuable thing of all, the Word of God. Because Jesus knows this can transform your life. His words can transform our heart and our mind. It keeps us on the straight and narrow. When I was in the hippie communities, it was almost lawless what took place there. But within God's word, he gives us his commandments and his precepts, and that guides us and helps us to know his will. And that's critical, particularly in our day and age. We've got competition facing us every day. What will we do with our mind? What will we do with our time? And what will we do with this headspace? There's so much entertainment we can get involved with and looked at. But God would say, read my word and let his word touch our lives. Because it does have a transforming effect, but it just takes that little bit of time. And anyone who's a gardener or a farmer knows to have that patience. They've got to wait for the right time before they can put in the sickle, put in the halves and get the benefit and get the harvest. It just takes that bit of time and patience and endurance to have victory in Jesus. Let's keep looking at this scripture. Ben, I'm not sure which verse it is, but hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. You can't see it in there? It's about halfway down. 18? Thank you. Sorry, I copied it into my iPad and I didn't copy the numbers across for it. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of God, word of the kingdom, and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it, yet has he no root in himself, but he endures for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. There is power in the word of God. If we will sow, we will reap in due time. We can sow to ourselves. We understand this principle in life. Unless we work, we won't have any money. If we don't study, we won't improve our opportunities. If we're idle, we become poor. And it's the exact same precepts in our spiritual life. If we apply ourselves to something, there is a benefit. Sister Downs, you always used to say, God is no man's debtor. In other words, if you do something for God, you better believe he sees it. He knows and he will do something. I can remember another lesson I learned. We were during the extension here, which was, I think, 18 years ago or longer. And some of you might remember and may have been involved in building the dozens of church pews that we used to sit on here, those hard benches that seemed like something from the distant past. Well, when we built all those, they all had to be sprayed. And I came along one day and I was spraying it, trying to spray all these pews with lacquer. And it was so hot that it was just, the lacquer was drying as it was coming out of the gun. So I just couldn't keep going. And in my distress, I said to Sister Downs, pray for it to cool down. And she looked at me and she said, where's your faith? Why don't you pray? I thought, oh, okay, I'll pray. Now I prayed. Nothing happened immediately. But, you know, within 2 days it started raining. And at the time when I prayed, I had very little confidence in what was happening. The words of the kingdom are powerful. His words quicken us. Just like the children are learning in the Bible quizzing with Andrew, which is a wonderful thing, putting the word of God in their hearts. Hallelujah. When I was on that community, a couple of communities, and at some stage I looked around and I said, this isn't what I want anymore. And I was desperate for the Holy Spirit that I'd heard about. And so I pulled a number of things out of my life and I started to seek God. I was prepared to do whatever He asked me to do. And when I heard the word repent, I understood I had to get rid of a lot of things, from rebellion to witchcraft, that I was a little bit tied up in. But it was very clear cut for me, because during that 12 months when I was considering my options, I was weighing up just exactly what I had to do to serve God. And I knew I couldn't serve two masters. And by that stage, at the end of 12 months, I knew Jesus was not tied up with all those awful things I was involved with. And I didn't want that anymore. There was a spiritual battle taking place in my mind and heart. And I knew I didn't want to leave anything of the devil in my heart or my mind or my life. Galatians chapter 6. And verses 7 to 10. If we want to receive a harvest in the future, then we need to sow today. If we want something to change, we have to sow the seeds today of the Word of God. And that might be in the way that we pray and what we are praying for. That may be in sharing the Word of God. That might be in repeating the Word of God to ourselves, to encourage ourselves with what God can do. Our young son Benjamin had a stomach ache the other night. And as he was struggling and struggling, I remembered the scripture, and he's prayed it before, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that gave him a little bit of resolution to go through until he slept, and then he woke up fine the next morning. If we want to receive something, we need to sow something and then have the patience to wait for it, because God's word will not return void. It is powerful. It's life-giving. There's nothing else like it. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them as of the household of faith. Tonight, I would urge us to make the words of God a priority in our lives so that the words of the kingdom can produce fruit, peace, prosperity, respect, consistency, moderation, love, joy, long-suffering, kindness and goodness and faith. Don't say you've tried it for a day and it doesn't work. It takes time to produce fruit. Don't start even to consider giving up after a week. You need to have some resilience and tenacity to hold on until you receive what you have sowed, because God's word will not fail. Men's words will fail. Prophecies will fail, but the word of God will not fail. Jesus is faithful to his word. I'm going to ask the ushers to remove our little demonstration from the front here, and I'm going to ask the musicians to come up tonight. There's one thing we learn when we start serving Jesus. If he gives you a word and you obey it and you respond, there'll be another word to come. But if you ignore the original word he gave you, you open yourself up to be deceived. I can remember as a young man, I would read my New Testament and I loved it. And then I read one place which said, to obey and honor your parents. And I closed my Bible and I said, that's not for me. And after that point, my life went in a spiral downhill because I rejected God's counsel for my life. But it was when I turned back to him and said, I'm listening. I'm desperate. What have I got to do to have the Spirit of God, to have what I see in these people? What have I got to do to have that in my life as well? And when I started listening, God started speaking. Thank good God for his kindness and his goodness. Let's stand tonight. And I just invite you, if you'd like to come to the altar to pray, because you can be guaranteed, if you ask something from God and you are sincere, if you call upon Jesus, he will answer. Why? Because he is absolutely faithful to his word. He is faithful like no one else, like no one else that we know. His words have power. His words have spirit and his words have life. A man, Lazarus, was in the grave for more than a couple of days. And he told the people, roll back the stone. And they said, Lord, by this time his body stinks. And he said, didn't I tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. So they rolled back the stone. And just with the power of his words, he commanded, Lazarus, come forth. And out came Lazarus, bound with the linen around him. If he can resurrect a man who's decaying in the grave, how much more can he resurrect somebody's life that's gone down the wrong path? Just by speaking his word, and we receive it. Brother Michael. Thank you, Jesus. So I open up these altars if you'd like to come and pray tonight, because his words will not fail. Hallelujah. Jesus.
This is my desire. Yes. To Lord, we thank you.
Say